Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
They won't fear it until they understand it, and they won't understand it until they've used it.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
What are you doing here? Thinking about turning our house into a nuclear power plant?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's Friday night.
Woohoo!
And it's time to party, as Wayne once said on Wayne's World.
Wrong movie, but okay.
Wrong movie. But we are here at Megaplex Theaters, and we're at the Jordan Commons location in Sandy. And there is a vibe and an energy at this place that you only get, in my opinion, on the night of a big movie premiere.
That's true.
And right now, nothing bigger than Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, the fourth movie in the current continuity of Peter Venkman and Winston Zeddemore and Ray Stantz and Egon Spengler.
Look at you coming up.
Pulling those right off the top of my head.
You know, I just can't get over the fact that this 30-foot Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, I want to know which one of these guys got it in the divorce. Because, yeah.
It's cool. It was 25, 30 feet high.
Yeah.
And if you come down to the Jordan Commons location, you can get your picture taken in front of it. You can get your picture taken in front of, looks like the library ghost after the library ghost transforms into the crazy face.
That wasn't the same lady, was it?
I don't know if it was the same lady.
It was? The one that
in the callback in Frozen Empire?
I don't know what you're talking about. Spoilers, dude. Come
that's
on,
one
man.
I feel like there's a callback to it.
There is a lot of fan service in this.
So much.
Yes. So much fan service.
That is Jeff Whipple from Megaplex Entertainment.
Giving away the whole movie.
Giving away the movie. We didn't even say it. Jeff said it now is how I remember it. No, I'm just kidding. But here, we're so excited to be here at the Megaplex Theaters because it's so fun to be at a Megaplex Theater on a premiere night. I can think back now. There was a period where I couldn't afford to go to the movies.
Oh,
I had kids of a certain age.
Somebody get out the violin.
And no, I don't know, but I'm just saying. So I didn't realize that it was a thing to have a huge night at the premiere with things to take pictures with until The Force Awakens in 2015. And we went to the Megaplex Theater so we could see it on opening night. And there was the throne you could sit in for the Emperor. So that's when I realized, oh, hey, this is even more fun than I thought. I just wanted to go and feel the vibe when, like, everybody's there to see the same thing.
The magic of the experience is what generates just these great memories for families, for individuals that are coming out to a movie. You think about it, and whether you like the movie or not, whether you had, in some cases, people don't remember what film they saw, but they remember getting together with somebody that was important to them and having just the best night ever. And that's the fun part of being in this business.
Well, and you do such a great job of staging things so people can have a memorable experience beyond just seeing the movie.
I'd love to see your Rolodex. It must be, well, or the equivalent of nowadays. Because it's got to be, okay, I need a camel. Where am I going to find a camel?
Let's have a Ghostbusters party. Let's call the, I don't know what the Ghostbusters group calls themselves. I know that in Star Wars it's the 501st. But what's the Ghostbusters?
They're Ghostbusters of Salt Lake are here, and a huge shout-out to the gang from Ghostbusters of Salt Lake, as well as a different group, Ghostbusters of Utah. So we actually have three Ecto cars spread across three locations tonight. We have groups, Ghostbuster teams, at three different locations, one here at Jordan Commons. We actually have the containment unit at the district with an Ecto car inside the building, and then another team up at Legacy Crossing in Centerville. And part of the joy of my job is the Ghostbusters from time to time call me. Oh. And that's a pretty good job description.
Yeah, that's like a reverse of who you're going to call. They also know who they're going to call, and it's Jeff the Whipple.
Thankfully, we have built a reputation, and it predates me. Megaplex Theaters is a great place to celebrate movies, and the fans know, and we're thrilled to partner with them. Our friends at FanX are great to work with. We do fun things with them. The Star Wars team, the Ghostbusters team, the Harry Potter crowd. If there's a big movie coming, and there are, we're gonna pull out the stops.
Well, this is gonna be fun. So what, Steve? This is the movie show.
Yeah.
We're gonna review Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire.
Well, I don't want to now.
A room full of people froze to death in July.
It's an unimaginable evil. It's the power to kill by fear itself. Now it's headed straight for us. It's commanding an army of the undead.
All right, so to set the story.
Loved it.
Good answer. Good answer. Survey says.
To set the story, without giving away plot points that we don't want to give away, other than maybe one we may or may not have, because, I mean, if you haven't seen it, you don't know what we said.
Exactly.
But it's the direct sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife, in which we were introduced to the family, Egon Spengler's daughter,
his
granddaughter, and his grandson. And then we get to meet Paul Rudd, and I love how he describes himself, but it's in the movie, and I don't want to spoil that line because that was one of the funnier lines in the movie.
That's true.
But Paul Rudd was their teacher at high school, and he's now part of the group, and they all live in the Ghostbusters firehouse that that we learned at the end of Afterlife Winston Zeddemore has purchased because he's now somehow super wealthy.
Yeah, who cares how he got his money?
That's what I'm saying, but he's super rough. So they live there. They're busting ghosts, and one particular ghost bust leaves a lot of damage, and they end up in the mayor's office, and this is where it gets to be super fun. But at some point, an ominous object is brought in to raise a cult shop, and it turns out that this thing could have a powerful entity hidden inside it that maybe just threatened Manhattan, but the entire world. So
could
that
you
is,
tell by the fact that it was wiggling a lot?
Yeah, that should have given something away. When he put the PKE meter on it and it busted.
Oh, yeah, it started smoking.
Even Ray should have known something was up there. But at any rate, that's as far as the story we want to give away because we want everybody to enjoy it for what it is. So, Steve, well, give us. Yeah, we did it on our earlier show, but this is Friday night, and people are driving out to see a movie. They want to know what Steve Sales thought of it.
Well, Steve thought it was pretty cool. I had a good time. I do think that they had a hard time trying to put all of those characters in the movie and giving them all something to do. Before, you know, they kind of just came and it was more cameo-ish in Afterlife.
Yes.
But now they're part of it, and Ray is hugely a part of it. Venkman shows up, and he does his best, Venkman-ish.
Yeah, for Venkman, it is more than a cameo, but it's certainly not as meaty as Winston or Ray's appearances.
Right, exactly. So I thought that they were trying to get...
Oh, and Annie Potts, too. She's in it a bunch.
And the fact that you didn't even mention her hardly is because she's barely in it.
Yeah, well, okay.
No, so that's the only negative I found was that I thought that they were trying to do too many little storylines. And some of the storylines were kind of a downer, like... McKenna Grace, her storyline was a little like, well, you know, you can't do what you do best kind of thing. And that, like, oh, no.
Yeah, but
on.
That speaks to, like, regular teen angst. Every teenager feels like that. Why won't they let me be older? Why couldn't they let me grow up? And that's why the fun part of the movies is that it's always that expression of, like, look, if your parents would just let us kids do stuff, we'd get this stuff done the right way. And that's the wish fulfillment that as a kid. And that, to me, it's a plus and a minus. It's a minus for me as a nearly 50-year-old is that I was kind of hoping for a similar type of humor. If you remember, the original Ghostbusters was aimed at grown-ups.
Yes.
Kids saw it by the dozens in the
and
droves.
And they loved it.
And they did. But it wasn't a movie that was written aimed at their level. When I was older, I was like, oh, there were some jokes I didn't quite realize what they meant. But kids saw it, and some of the jokes went over their head, and the rest of it was just cool to see.
Well, that's why, in fact, in the second Ghostbusters, they made it more kid-friendly.
And that's what I was going to say. So now the arc is like, okay, and in between those two movies, it's important to point out, they had a successful 5-season run of cartoons, so there was a whole generation of kids who knew all the Ghostbusters characters in a more, you know, family-friendly type setting that they watched on Saturday mornings. Like, I got up faithfully. That was one we never missed on Saturday morning. It was the real Ghostbusters. So they're kind of trending it a little bit in that direction, and that's okay. That's what I'm saying. As the kid watching it, well, crud, it's even more fun.
Yeah.
And the kid helps save the day. But just as the older person, there was a part of me that was like, ooh, I wish it could have been maybe just a little bit more humor-biting like the original.
I think the humor is what I found. I mean, the first one is so creative, and just lightning in a bottle. There's just no way you're going to recreate that. Everything else is going to be playing... is in second place as far as I'm concerned. But this was a really good effort, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do next? I know they have other storylines in the pipeline.
And I have thoughts of where I think the franchise ought to go, like my opinion, where I think it could do best. Because, but this was fun. You know what was really fun about it? I watched it with my younger brother. And we were both laughing at stuff, and we have a similar sense of humor. So the same things that I found funny, he found funny. And sometimes it was like, who got the joke faster and who laughed first? And that was part of the fun of it for me. And that's what I say. You know, is it a perfect movie? No, but it is a fun movie.
Yeah.
And there is some solid humor. And Paul Rudd, I think, gets all the best lines, personally. I think he's got all the best lines. But that is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And if you're a Ghostbusters fan, I think you're going to enjoy it.
And don't leave early, because the closing credits has a mid-credit scene that is worth checking out.
So that is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And on the rest of the movie show today, we're going to review all the Ghostbusters
movies. You sound like you loved it more than I did. We both gave it the same grade. So what's up?
I had fun. I had somebody with me, too. And you were watching. You didn't have, like, a buddy there.
I was baby in the corner, and John was.
I got there early enough for that one that we got the good seats. But all right. So when we get back on the movie show, we're going to tell you about some other. There was a movie that we didn't get to on the movie show earlier today that we wanted to get in tonight, and that is playing at the Megaplex Theaters. And
really, you sure you want to?
We're going to go for it anyway. And it.
You can blame.
It's kind of
Lawrence
like it's
here.
Kind of ghosty in a way.
Well, this is the late night movie show, so it's appropriate to talk about that movie on the late night version, probably.
No,
and
that's
what we will do when we come back on the movie show. Gotta love the Ghostbusters music.
Oh yeah, I heard he struggled writing that song.
Ray Parker Jr. Yeah. Well, maybe the part of the problem was they didn't know the title for sure until it was close to release, because they had to secure the copyright.
You know what the original title was going to be? Ghost Smashers.
Well, they had three or four different titles they were working with. See, part of the problem is, this is some Ghostbusters trivia if you didn't know this. Filmation, the animated company, had a show called Ghostbusters
that aired in
the late 1970s or early 80s. And I remember, in fact, that's why the cartoon that was based on this franchise was called The Real Ghostbusters, because there was already a cartoon called Ghostbusters,
right.
And they weren't sure they were going to be able to secure the trademark to be able to use it.
Yeah, they went through legal wranglings to get it.
So there's actually clips on YouTube you can watch where they shoot that scene where they're shooting the commercial that they're like, have you had paranormal things happen to you? And then they take a step forward and a step back, and at the end when they all say the name together, Ghost Blasters.
They shot it.
And then they're like, okay. Right? And then they come back, and he's like, no, wait, what's this one? He's like, Ghost Smashers. And they're like, okay, and then they start going through the thing again. So, because they weren't sure if they were going to be able to stick with Ghostbusters, so they shot a bunch of different versions where they say the name themselves. That's They only say it a couple of times themselves in the movie.
So Ray is late at night. He can't come up with anything. He's watching a commercial on TV, and it's a plumbing commercial. Who are you going to call?
That's where he got
that's
that
where he got
phrase.
It.
So the song, there was litigation between Ray Parker Jr. and Huey Lewis over one of the songs that Huey Lewis performs. It's the music, I Want a New Drug, from Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, yeah.
The songs, you play them side by side, and they are almost...
They
overlap beautifully.
That was about the same era, too.
It was absolutely. There was actually... Because Huey Lewis turned down Ghostbusters to write for Back to the Future, so there was a little bit of history between...
And thankfully, we got
those,
both.
And thankfully, we got both, and... They all shook hands, and somebody cut it, somebody else a check, apparently. But that's welcome to Hollywood.
There's always somebody getting their palm greased.
Well, a movie that's 40 years old, there's lots of trivia, and a movie that's as well-beloved, Steve, Ghostbusters is actually in AFI's 100 Films, 100 Laughs, the top 100 comedies of all time.
I would say it's probably one of the top 10 comedies of all time.
It is great. It was written by Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman. Or no, Ivan Reitman directed it.
Yes, he directed, but he was also a part of writing it. And a lot of Bill Murray's line, I mean, this is when he was at the top of his game, ad-libbed a ton of stuff in that movie.
You know, it helps when the writers of the film are also your co-stars, because then you kind of have that green light to ad-lib from the people who would have to go to arbitration with their guild too much of it was ad-lib. All right, well, let's review, Steve. There's a couple of other movies that are coming to theaters that are playing at Megaplex tonight alongside, and again, as Jeff told us, there's room for everybody at the Megaplex if you're not feeling Ghostbusters, if you've already seen Dune, if you've already seen Kung Fu Panda.
Let's talk about Late Night with the Devil. We don't have any sound from it, which is probably just a good thing. Okay, look, I'm going to qualify this because I took some heat, I believe, from one of our listeners earlier today about how my personal stylings are not towards the horror genre, and they wanted to point out that not everybody has the same stylings as me.
Okay, but in your defense, and I will say this, everybody has biases of some kind. They grow up in a certain way. You have been more careful about not throwing those in, I think, than a lot of people that I've seen that are really, you know, have a strong bias and personal beliefs. You kind of set those aside, and I'm gonna defend you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. So for
whoever that was,
late night. No, it was good because I replied and he was polite. I assume it's a he.
So you changed your mind on this movie?
Oh no! I'm still going to give it a terrible grade. But at least let me set the table for it. But anyway, it's set in 1977, and a fictional rival of Johnny Carson named Jack Delroy, who's played by David Dasmalchian, who's been in a bunch of things. You may not know him by name, but when you see his face, you're like, oh, I've seen that guy
Polka
in a bunch
Dot of Man
things.
And Suicide.
Polka Dot Man and the Suicide Squad. Any rate, he hosts a late-night talk show called Night Owls that has been the late show after tonight, and even in his first night on the job, he's like, you know, my parents who are at home in Illinois watching right now. But his show, no matter what he does, and it's presented at the beginning like a faux documentary, like, hey, we found some footage, but do you remember the 70s when there was this show and this was the host, and it leads to this, but then there was one night when he was... His show was, like, ratings-wise circling the drain, and it wasn't sure he was going to get it. So he planned on All Hallows' Eve one special show.
Uh-oh.
And we've recently discovered the footage of what took place on that show. And so then it goes through, and basically the host, Jack Delroy, he brings on a guy who supposedly is like can commune with the dead. And the guy does it. And then he brings on a guy who is a debunker of things like that.
Ah.
And the debunker's like, hey, you did a really convincing thing, but I bet this is what you did, this is what you did, this is what you did. And then who was in Ant-Man? Stone, you'll have to tell me that in just a second. David Dasmalchian was. Yes, he was. That's right, in the original Ant-Man. Any rate, sorry to get derailed there for a sec. So he brings on the debunker. And then for his third guest, he brings out a girl who had supposedly survived a Satanist cult.
Okay, this is the one I saw in the trailer.
Yes. And so he brings it out, and she's with the psychiatrist that's supposedly helping her cope with all of this stuff. And and this is the big stunt, is they're going to have her talk to the demon live on television.
Yeah.
And then, you know, things go awry and the chair rises and
hilarity ensues.
I promise I'm not going to go any further with the plot for those of you.
Because that's literally the end of the movie.
No. There's way more that happens.
Oh, okay.
But that's the setup. So you've got the skeptic, you've got the spiritual person, and then you've got a girl who's supposedly possessed, and the skeptic is doing a great job of pointing out the bunk of all of
it. Okay, having not seen this movie, I think it's a cool idea to use a late night talk show to bring out a possession situation.
Clever premise.
No or not?
Well, no, it is. Actually, this is what I was going to say, because I hate these kind of movies, and there was some really gross stuff in it that totally turned me off, just like I feared it would.
I could beat that, though.
You told me about that. But so anyway, to be fair, here's the thing. They had a clever way of presenting it.
Yeah.
Having that skeptic doubting it all along kind of helps ease the tension and the build-up to, you know, there's going to be a horror payoff of this, I promise you. And I actually thought there were some interesting cinematic choices. At some points, because you're watching a 1970s TV show, it switches to the 4x3 format.
Oh.
So you'll have the black bars on the side. And honestly, you don't even notice. I was like, oh, wait a minute. And then I was like, now I got to pay attention to see if it spreads back out to the full screen, and it does for certain scenes. And then the video filter they use for the whole thing really emulates that 1970s TV look.
They said they actually used some gear.
From the 1970s?
From the 1970s.
I could believe that.
To get that
look.
Yeah,
it was a special camera that they used back in the day.
I at least part of what we were hearing from the industry side was that they actually fired up some gear that has not been used for a while.
That's cool.
Basically, if you like a movie like Carrie, if you like a movie like, I don't know, because I don't like watch a whole lot of these, I think that there was some clever movies for me that go with the devil. I'm just out.
Yeah.
But I did watch the whole thing. Some of the creature effects were pretty cool, and I did like how they were able to kind of whip back and forth between, oh my gosh, this is horrifying. Oh, but is it? But I assure you, by the end, it is. So, for Andy's personal, Late Night with the Devil is a D. But a horror person might rate it a lot higher.
Okay.
So, that's for me.
See,
that's Late
fair.
Night with the Devil. Okay. And one of the other ones that's coming to Megaplex theaters is Luca.
We do Aww. Not go anywhere near the surface. Got it?
Everything good is above the surface. Walking.
Air.
The sky. Clouds. The sun.
Whoa, don't look at it.
Just kidding. Definitely look at it.
So how do we have, Jeff Whipple from Megaplex, how do we have a Pixar movie in theaters right now?
We had to bring it in for you so that you'd feel better after watching Late Night with the Devil.
Well, I appreciate that,
first of all. We needed something for you to run into.
So the whole family can come tonight, and the horror maven in the family can go to Late Night.
Think of it as the sorbet.
It's a palate cleanser. Yeah, there you go. Well, to me, Pixar was so ticked off. They put everything into these movies, and a bunch of them never saw the light of day in theaters.
And somebody threw a pandemic in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And this is Disney righting a wrong of this is the third in a trilogy of the Pixar films that were not able to come into theaters.
Soul, Turning Red,
and now finally Luca, which might be my favorite of these three.
And this, by the way, is Larry Tassoni, the Megaplex movie. Let's see, what's your official title?
He's a
film buyer.
The film
Booker,
buyer. So he's bookie. The one who decides what hits the theaters. Jeff's the one that makes sure you have a great time when you come here. So it's a great team here.
We have more fun than we're allowed, but that's okay. And to your point earlier, what you're describing with the Late Night with the Devil versus Luca, it's a range. You get a 20-plex here to work with, and there is something available for a variety of tastes. And what you describe, I had a flashback as you were describing it, with Barbenheimer. That weekend when Barbie opened up at the same time as Oppenheimer, we can usually sit here and kind of gauge which film somebody's going to go watch.
That's true.
And on Barbenheimer weekend, it was like, yeah, no. And we'd ask them, and they'd say, well, we're going to see Oppenheimer first, and then we're going to go see Barbie to cleanse the palate or whatever. So I used to be better at it, or now I've just kind of checked at the door and said, nope, you guys choose what movie you're going to go see. Because we make assumptions.
Something for everyone.
All right. Well, we got to take a break here on the movie show. But when we get back, we're going to review Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2.
What happened to Immaculate?
We'll get to it.
That's my counter programming to your devil movie.
We'll get to it.
Who you going to call? Ghostbusters!
Don't be
random
on
And we're back on the movie show, and we are celebrating Ghostbusters tonight at the Megaplex Theaters. We're at Jordan
Larry
Commons.
Larry and I are going to dance here in a minute.
It's fun, too. Like, if you still haven't come by and you're still going to maybe go see Ghostbusters tonight, you're going to see another movie. If you come here to Jordan Commons, we've got a little thing where if you can throw a marshmallow in Slimer's mouth, you can win one of these awesome Ghostbusters popcorn tins filled with delicious Megaplex popcorn.
Do we still have some popcorn left?
Oh, yeah, right there. If people hit three in his mouth, they get the metal ones.
Yeah, but then I can hit three.
They might. And maybe by the end of the night, we know how generous Jeff Whipple is.
We have prizes worth up to dollars. We'll take care of people.
They do always do that. And you guys are great about that. And so let's, Steve, we're celebrating Ghostbusters. You come to a movie here, you can take your picture with Stay Puft, and we are talking... I mean, he's not actual size from the movie because that guy was the size of some of the skyscrapers.
20 stories.
But when you're standing at his foot, this one kind of feels like it.
He really looks good in here.
He does.
I mean, you got the downtown vibe going anyway.
Well, and how many movie theaters have a ceiling as high as you guys?
Well, this is a fabulous
building.
Where
do you store this dude?
Well, I think.
Well, you eat him one bite at a time.
That's a lot of s'mores right there. Chocolate bar and some graham crackers.
I get that he's inflated, but I mean, even deflated, that's a lot of dude.
Well, I think they roll him up and throw him in the back of the Ecto cars. And
well, if you can't come to the Megaplex theaters, you can always go to KSLNewsRadio.com and click on the live stream. And our boy Stone here is making sure that you've got a look. You can see what we're talking about.
Right.
You can see us. You can see what you can win. And, we're drinking out of these awesome Megaplex Ghostbusters cups.
You already licked mine, so you can't have it back.
Oh.
And, I will always talk about how amazed I was when I discovered a Coke Freestyle machine at the Megaplex Theaters for the first time. I'd never heard of it.
By the way, I want the lids from the Dune movie. Did he have to send those back? That was not a Megaplex one.
We didn't. They're not weird. The tins.
No, no, but they had to have gotten them.
We passed on the lids.
As well and wisely they should.
All right,
we're about
fine.
Having a great time at the movies.
Yes, and this is great. So you've got on the big weekends, you got the collectible cups, you got the collectible tins that you can pick up at the Megaplex.
And
theaters.
No fancy lids for these movies. This movie
for this movie, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Marshmallows not included. Sorry. About
yeah, we got some marshmallows on our popcorn, but
there's
that
marshmallows
was,
everywhere.
Literally
that was a bonus
all
for the
over
movie
the
show.
Place.
All right, Steve. Well, let's talk about let's review because
why?
We're celebrating. We're going to review Ghost because it's fun. It's 40 years. What did you think of it? You know,
I can't remember. I saw the first one and I see all the rest of them, but I don't really.
This was an objection you bring up during the show prep.
Okay.
Not during the show.
Not during the show.
1984's Ghostbusters, the original. Let's play a random clip of it.
Do you believe in UFOs, astral projections, mental telepathy, ESP, clairvoyance, spirit photography, telekinetic movement, full trance mediums, the Loch Ness Monster, and the theory of Atlantis?
If there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you say.
I love how that's how Winston got a job as a Ghostbuster. Sure,
why
you pay
not
me, I'll believe whatever you tell me. He asks Ray if he believes in God, and what's Ray's response?
Haven't met him.
It's quotable. It's hilarious. It's got iconic comic performers at the peak of their powers. It has a killer soundtrack, and it was a cultural moment that everybody was talking about that you watched from whether you were my age, 9-year-old, all the way up to my grandparents' age.
I just remembered another line that I loved. This chick is toast.
I will also say that it holds up. 5 years ago at the 35th anniversary, they did a re-release of the film. So they did a screening for us, like we needed to see it again, but it was awesome to see it. And I laughed as hard as I did the first time I watched it. Yeah. So go back and watch it again.
Yeah, I will.
It's great. And it was voted one of the top 100 comedies of all time by the American Film Institute.
I agree. Wholehearted.
So that's our review of Ghostbusters. It's the best of the franchise. And, you know, you said it, lightning in a bottle. It's hard to recapture that.
Yo.
Now we get to Ghostbusters 2, released in 1989. 5 years later, 89 was another big summer of movies. Ghostbusters 2, it started off with Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, which set box office records. 3 weeks later, Ghostbusters 2 broke all of those box office records.
Really?
They would then be broken a couple weeks later by Batman. But I remember my brother, who's a huge Indiana Jones fan, was so mad that Ghostbusters 2 knocked it out and broke its records. But super demand. We get the story of Viggo, the master of evil. Tried to battle the boys. It's not legal, as Bobby Brown sang in the theme song for 1989's Control.
So here's the problem. It's riding on the coattails of Ghostbusters, so it automatically, all those people that saw Ghostbusters are going to go to Ghostbusters 2.
Yes.
And they were going to be a little disappointed.
As a kid, I wasn't disappointed. And I recall my dad not being disappointed. In fact, a spoiler for a 35-year-old movie. When they spray the Statue of Liberty at the end and they realize they need good vibes to defeat the bad vibes, that's not a bad concept. That's actually kind of a fun concept. And it was, you know, they kind of cheated around it without having the actual Statue of Liberty walk. And I believe that might have been because the VFX strike at the time. There was a VFX strike in Hollywood that affected a bunch of movies in that 1989-1990 period.
Well, didn't they have the Statue of Liberty walk? Wasn't
yeah, they did. But
the
you
sandals.
Didn't, you
yeah
saw the sandals and you saw them up in the crown. But you never saw, like, I think their original hope was that you would watch it. So you saw it down under the water because it
hiked
through
editing
the water.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it was fun. It just wasn't as good as the original.
No, not even close.
Yeah. But it did have the OGs back. It had some great lines.
Give me one.
I did earlier, but I'll do it again. And the reason that they should be let go is because one time when I turned into a dog, they helped me. Thank you. Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis.
The lawyer in court.
Who does your taxes?
Right? Yes. So you know, the weird thing with Dana having a baby and then, like, Peter getting back together, I don't know about that. But you had Peter McNichol. That's the first time I ever saw that guy.
Yeah.
You had the weird painting with the forehead that bulged out. The
forehead painting. That one, I lost sleep.
It was a love letter to New York. So that was Ghostbusters.
He did have a mean look on his face, too.
If you had to give it a letter grade right now, from what you remember, what would you give it?
I don't remember a lot, but I'd probably give it a C.
Okay. And I would have given it a C plus or a B minus, whereas the first one was an A.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So out of the park.
Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. Now, we'll talk about Ghostbusters Answer the Call and Ghostbusters Afterlife in our next segment.
After the Call is the lady ones?
Yes. Answer the Call.
Answer the Call.
Okay. Because it was called Ghostbusters 2016, and they're just like, okay, we need to add something to it. So now when you look at the title, it's Ghostbusters parentheses Answer the Call.
Should be not really Ghostbusters, but kind of something similar.
Well, listen to Steve gatekeeping. He gets to decide, and he alone, who is a Ghostbuster.
Well,
and that's not fair. No, I'm just kidding. But all right, so
Chris Hemsworth. Anyway.
One of the cool things we wanted to talk with you guys at the Megaplex, Jeff Whipple and Larry Tassoni, is how excited we are for, you've got something coming up in May. And I believe it's towards the beginning of May. Am I correct, Jeff? I actually have it pulled up if you...
This morning, we put tickets on sale for an exclusive Star Wars Skywalker May the 4th marathon. One auditorium, one of a handful of locations across the country to offer it. And within an hour, woof, tickets were gone.
It's sold out?
It's the first auditorium went out. Larry did his magic with our Disney contacts, and first time, I think, ever, they came through with another auditorium, and tickets are flying out of that auditorium as well. So
on May the 4th.
This is while supplies last.
Third.
So late
starts.
Night, May the 3rd.
Oh, that's right. It starts on May the 3rd.
Yes,
it wraps up on May the 4th.
Yeah, this is unprecedented for Disney to allow us to add a second auditorium. We've never been successful in getting that before. So it was a really big win for us, and we promoted it as the Star Wars, you know, the Force is strong here in Utah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so you probably just had to say to Disney and Lucasfilm, hey, by the way, we kind of sold out our auditorium in like 45 seconds. Can we maybe get a second one? And they're like, well, perhaps we can make an arrangement.
I'm feeling generous today. Wow, that's
but cool. It is fun. Now, I have done the Star Wars movie marathon.
I was
and
there
I'm
with
assuming
you.
It's the same. You're going to do it in the same place?
No, we're going to do it here.
You're doing it here.
Here. In the Platinum X Auditorium, luxury heated luxury power recliners, Platinum X digital.
Night-night.
It's a great experience. Dolby Atmos sound. It's a great experience.
So
we're going to have,
you know,
the 501st, the clubs here doing their magic with us. It's going to be a Star Wars party.
So we're talking like 8:30 on the 3rd and then going until like 8:30
yes,
on the 4th.
24 hours of nonstop Star Wars magic to celebrate May the 4th.
Wow.
And as I recall, now I don't even remember what I was going to say. I just got thinking about Star Wars and then my mind went blank. But so, do you get a certificate at the end like I did?
There is.
I, by the way, put on my wall next to my college diploma because it's the second thing I'm most proud of.
Well, there you go.
Of my accomplishments.
There will be a
I'll
certificate.
I'll talk to your children after
this. No. They're not my accomplishments. They're their own people, see.
Oh, okay.
But
there will
of
be
the
a
things that I have done. All right. You know what? That's enough of that. But
by the power vested in me from movie
you.
Fandom, yes, there will
I
be
appreciate a- that is cool. And there's it's a cool thing. Oh, now I remember what I was going to say. It was when they re-released the special edition for the first time in 1997, this was the trailer that they used. People would buy a ticket to Independence Day in the summer of 96 to watch this trailer, and then they would go back and ask for their money back for the Independence Day. But it was because they said, for years, Star Wars was only available in the only place you could watch it, on the small screen. But if that's the only way you've ever seen it, you haven't seen it at all. And then, poof, the X-Wing flies out, and it goes to full picture, full sound. That's how you got to see Star Wars.
This is going to be a delight for fans. We are buckle up. It's going to be a fun 24 hours.
So how do you get one of the few remaining seats?
So megaplextheaters.com. There are still a few seats available in the second auditorium, and we're inviting
and
folks to come join us.
If you wait, they're going to be gone.
They will probably not last the weekend.
So this is an impulse buy all the way right now.
So and And the first wave of questions that come through is, wait, are there going to be breaks? Or what do we do for food? That kind of stuff. And we've worked through all of that. We will have a separate meal package if people want to buy into that. We'll provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a midnight snack. Or we'll have concessions open. And the ticket price for the marathon is $49.95. And that does include a large popcorn, a large drink cup that you can fill for the night and through the run of the marathon. We want to celebrate.
And bathrooms also available.
There is indoor plumbing at Megaplex Theaters. Yeah.
All right, so check that out at megaplextheaters.com. And we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we are going to read some of your texts of which is the second best Ghostbusters movie and why. And we'll talk about Ghostbusters Answer the Call. Up the phone. All right, that is for our texter who asked, can you play the Ghostbusters theme song at some point during the show? Mike, we can't play the whole thing
because
we run out of time. Oh. But we're going to play chunks of it because it is a great song, and it takes you in time to the summer of 84.
We don't have to pay for it?
Well, that's not the worry. It's just more like we got a lot of stuff we got to talk about.
Oh, right.
And we just.
By the way, Milo just popped up, the guy that won the telephone torture.
Our telephone torture winner came in. So he just got off work and he came in and said hi. What? And we will have a telephone torture, by the way, next hour. Just so the people who are listening know, we will have another shot.
Okay.
And the theme is filmed in Utah.
Okay.
It will be a movie that was filmed in Utah. All right. So here are some of the texts we've received on who thinks the second best Ghostbusters movie after the original. Most recent text we got is definitely Ghostbusters Afterlife because it's a tribute to the late Harold Ramis. Hard to argue with that as a reason. We also are joined by Jeff Whipple and Larry Tsoni of Megaplex Theaters.
That was a very touching moment in that.
It really was. And that was one time, you know, sometimes you complain about the image of people, of actors who passed on, but that was one. We're talking about ghosts, for heaven's sake, and he's famous for it. Like that might be the most appropriate use of it I've ever seen.
I can't help but think he would have signed off on exactly that. I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of his will and testament at the end. You know, if you do it well, and
that was a great way to do it.
It helps if your kid's directing it.
That's the thing. It was so well done.
Now, here's another vote for the third Ghostbusters movie. Love the way they incorporated the original cast, especially the ghost of Egon. I think it's hard to argue with that. Somebody says number one. Well, you thought number one was the second best? So we're looking for the second best Ghostbusters movie because we say the first one is the best. And then here's another vote for Afterlife. Here's a vote for Ghostbusters 2. So we do have somebody trying to represent Viggo, the Master of Evil.
Is it Peter McNichols?
It might be. All right. Well, let's review really quickly. Ghostbusters Answer the Call 2016. Let's revisit. How about instead of review, revisit?
Do we have to?
Yes. Because
I know
I
you
thought,
love this.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was endlessly quotable. I was really surprised.
You stop shaking your head.
I was really surprised that some of the quotable lines didn't come back after. And Chris Hemsworth was just an absolute find that he was that funny.
That's because the rest of them weren't.
They were too.
They were sweating bullets trying to pass some of those
stop
lines.
Stop it.
Sweating.
You have Kate bullets. McKinnon. You have Leslie Jones. You have
Cast.
Melissa McCarthy.
Still got to give them
some
stuff
of the
to read.
Well, now, that's fair. But it was still funny. Wow, man, a hard audience to please.
I'm with Andy.
Larry, you liked it?
So my opinion of that film is it was torpedoed by the internet. Because if you remember when the first trailer came out, and there was all these trolls online that just destroyed the trailer.
Are you calling me a troll?
And, well, I don't think that you were probably one of those people.
I was going to say, if the hairy foot fits.
But they never gave the film a chance. And by the time it hit theaters, people had just already made up their minds about the film. And I came out of it going, that was really funny. And exactly, like Chris Hemsworth and the deleted scene over the credits that was the whole dance sequence that didn't even make it into the movie. I found it really funny. I'm in that minority.
That deleted scene was, for me, the best part of the film.
And, you know, if I had a thing that I didn't like is, I would have almost rather that none of the originals, other than Sigourney Weaver, who she showed up, I can't remember, I have to rewatch it, but I know she showed up at the very
she
end,
was
but I can't remember
in
if
the
she
credits.
Was,
she was in like a credit scene.
Yeah, she wasn't earlier in the movie, if I recall. But But, you know, the other ones were Ray's the cab driver and Peter's the talk show host who gets murdered. I actually thought that was...
Yeah, he, like, falls out the window or something.
Contractually, they can't make a Ghostbusters movie, if I remember right, without Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd sign off, or they have to appear in it. There was some weird thing, and it was made so that it couldn't just go everywhere.
Well, that's funny that he died in that, because in Zombieland, he's in it just briefly, and then they kill him off, and I thought that was hilarious, too. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I need to watch it again, because you guys liked it. I'll slag through it again.
But anyway, I thought, so, is it the best one? No. But I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was funny, and I thought it got unfair hate, and I think some people, I feel like some people didn't see it because of what they heard from other people, and this is one where I say, watch it yourself, and then decide if you think it's funny.
Okay,
or
which
not.
One's the worst then?
Which one's the worst?
Yeah.
Probably two.
Okay, and then?
I mean, but that doesn't mean that it's the worst movie I've ever seen. It just means of all of them, I would probably rank two the lowest.
That's what
and I would put, what?
Yeah.
I think I'd put this, I'm going to get grief, but I think I'd put Answer the Call as the one I enjoyed the second most.
No?
And then Afterlife and Frozen Empire, probably about the same. So that's how I'd rank them personally. All right.
Well, good luck with that.
One other thing we wanted to mention on the movie show, and it seems like every other show on KSL today has mentioned it except us.
And
we're going back to 1984. We talked about the summer of 84. There was another movie that came out in 1980, or was it 83?
It's 40 years, so.
So, yeah, 84. So another movie that came out in 1984 that was filmed in Utah called Footloose, and it was filmed at Payson High School in Utah County. Well, today the students at Payson High School got the treat of their lives. Their campaign to get Kevin Bacon to Payson High before they tear it down.
Did you notice when he finally said he was coming, there was no reaction? He goes, I'm coming.
I think it's...
Was it on delay?
Well, it might be. And we're not even going to get a chance to play the clip. But Kevin Bacon is coming to Payson High. He announced it on the Today Show. Payson, woo!
I want to know what they're going to do with all those cool lockers. And is that all that gone?
It's the KSL Movie Show.
What do we really sell? Some dreams.
And imagination. And sparkle.
The week's big movie review. Movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
This guy's a lunatic. A psycho. He will eat you for breakfast. He won't even notice it, probably.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, I guess it's appropriate, since we're at the Megaplex Theaters celebrating Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, that I'm being attacked by marshmallows.
That's true.
As that is one of the greatest things of the new two movies, is those cute little Stay Puffed guys. That's one of my favorite things about
get,
the
though,
new series.
I mean, are they like just...
I don't know. It just means that there's like ectoplasm in the
sadistic
earth.
Sadistic things that they do to each other?
Well, they're marshmallow. They're curious. That's what makes them cute.
And the windshield wiper.
That's pretty funny. So that's one of my favorite
comic
things.
Relief. It's delightful. When things get intense.
Horrifying.
They need to be able to sell toys.
If they changed the music on that scene, it would be an entirely different.
No, that's true. Well, we're also joined by from Larry H. Miller Megaplex Entertainment, Jeff Whipple and Larry Tassoni, as we're here celebrating the thing. And there's been a great energy here all night. It looks like one set of movie is starting to let out, and we're seeing some people leave, and another group is starting to get here for the next round of showings.
This building is fascinating because we will literally have 1,000 people come through the door in a few minutes, and then they dissipate. They just go off into their auditoriums, and the flow that happens is really fun. And we watch people come in, and the team goes in and resets the auditorium, and we're getting ready for the next wave of movies, which is fun.
And resets, it's got to be like, wow.
Oh, the team does it.
They are incredible.
They do an extraordinary job.
I know that was the thing that Larry and Gail said. Going into a theater, I do not want my feet to stick to the floor.
No sticky floors. And it is these guys live it every day.
Although there are some marshmallows around me on the floor here right now, I'd like to point out.
Well, not to mention behind
after
this console,
I was
there's like 400 of
pelted.
Them.
Pelted.
I get to stay late. This is my mess. I'll be taken care of.
Are but you there concussed are, from hitting it? By?
I might be. Thankfully, it was a soft thing that hit me.
He even closed one eye. That was impressive.
Yeah, and they threw the big marshmallows at me, too. They didn't even go with the small ones.
Oh.
But that's one of the fun things. In fact, if you still come to Jordan Commons here in the next hour before we wrap up the
they
movie
can
show,
throw marshmallows at
you can throw marshmallows at Andy, or you can throw them into Slimer's mouth
to
and
win
some
prize,
popcorn.
To win a prize.
Or another cool prize. We've got telephone torture coming up later in this hour. But, Steve, let's actually talk about some of the other movies that are playing at Megaplex. We covered them in the movie show earlier today, but we want to cover it again for our late-night listeners who maybe didn't have a chance to see it. So let's start with Immaculate.
Saving for a reason, but I guess I'm still searching for what that reason is.
It's a miracle you are with child.
Out of all the women in the world,
why did he choose me?
How can we trust what's inside you?
Sydney See, this Sweeney. Is going to be a tough night because you have to decide whether you want Late Night with the Devil or if you want Immaculate. Now,
I will say Sydney Sweeney's better looking than David Dastmalchian.
I think that's a given. This is, boy, you know, Hollywood must not like Catholics because have you seen a movie that's like, hey, anyway.
No, I have not. And that actually is one of the things that bugs me.
Oh.
No, I just.
It is kind of one-sided, isn't it? I mean, it's
really?
Just like, oh,
or Cabrini.
Easy to pick on.
Cabrini.
Sister Cabrini,
Act.
That's true.
Yeah, but that was like 40 years ago.
Okay, so she's from Detroit, which is weird enough, and she.
Who, Whoopi Goldberg?
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Sydney, come on.
I derailed him.
Sister Cecilia. All right. She's from Detroit. She had a near-death experience when she was young. Not sure what that has to do with it, but apparently the guys in Italy think it's pretty cool. So they invite her to come to this countryside Italian convent that was built like a million years ago. And it's a housing for nuns that are on their way out. They're old. They're at the gates.
They're almost retired?
Yes, seriously retired. And so they invite her, and she's like one of the young ones. There's maybe four or five young ones. The rest are all ancient of days. She gets there, and almost right away, weird stuff starts happening. Like there's one priest like, oh, no, and you're going to love it here. You know, and he's really a dashing priest dude. And I'm like, all right, what's going on here? Then like, you know, within a week, so they call her in, the cardinal's office, say, hey, you've been with men. And she goes, I'm sorry, I have not. What are you talking about? Because you're with child. And he goes, oh, I've never been with anybody. It's a miracle.
Immaculate.
Immaculate conception. So,
but the real answer is maybe not as immaculate as...
Well, the one interesting thing about this that I can't tell you is what it actually is and how this came about. That's the only interesting thing. The rest... She's like snooping around, finding stuff. There's nuns falling off a building, you know, falling, jumping off of buildings. One says a few bad words. They cut her tongue out. So she sees all this kind of like through doorways and stuff. And it's finally she figures out what's happening. And the whole time I'm just sitting there like, girl, get out of here. Go. You need to get away. But in the opening scene.
He was talking to the screen.
I was. Opening scene, you see one girl try to. And her little leg got stuck in the gate, and which was like, wow, one of the nuns did that. I'm like, I'm not going there ever. Where this goes, Sydney Sweeney was one of not only the star, but she produced this movie. So she was really into this story. And believe me, if you were to watch this movie, you will go like, the one thing you will say, wow, she really gave everything she had for this film, including some of the weird stuff that she does at the end that I can't even begin. It's one of those things that's going to stick in your head forever. And you're like, dang it. I wish it wasn't.
When you see it, you can't unsee it.
Exactly. And so.
So you gave it?
I give it a C-. What'd you give The Devil?
A D.
Oh, well.
But again, I qualified that as not my cup of tea. Maybe other people will like it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought there was some cleverness to Late Night with the Devil. Did you find cleverness to Immaculate?
Not much. I did think that the concept that's hidden within the confines of the convent were kind of interesting.
All right. So that's Immaculate, and it is rated, I'm guessing, R, from what you told me.
Super R.
Larry, did you see that one?
I did not.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry. I left that one for you. I'm
Larry,
sitting
the
here
film
with
buyer. He bought that one sight unseen. Oh, Sydney Sweeney, we'll take it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then he was like, wait, what's in it? No, all right. So we also have playing at the Megaplex, Uproar.
Josh, I've started an amateur drama club at lunchtime. Well, there's four of us, so it's not big.
Why are you asking me?
I just thought it might be something you'd enjoy.
Five things, five things, five things, five things. Food!
bread. Yes!
Reese Darby doing his best.
He's a teacher at this school.
At a school in New Zealand where Julian Dennison from Deadpool 2 and Hunt for the Wilder People is a student. He's a big guy. He's a little more drawn to acting than he is rugby, like his father and his older brother, his late father and his older brother. And it's set in the 1980s, around the time that there was a lot of protests in New Zealand as the South Africa rugby team was playing a series of matches.
That was an interesting backdrop to this.
Yeah, and that's what made, I thought, so compelling was this poor kid. He's half Maori, Julian Dennison, half Maori and half English. His mom is Minnie Driver in the movie.
Love her.
And he's just trying to figure out, where does he fit into all this? He doesn't like to get off the fence. He deflects a lot. Doesn't want to be the center of attention.
Uses humor, like people do.
But then he finds that when the eyes all turn on him, what's he going to do or what's he going to say? And that to me was the power. Just that I felt for the kid.
Yeah.
And without giving anything away, him being an actor is what helps sell the him being good at acting in the film, like his character being good at acting, really helps sell the most emotional moment of all of it, which is towards the end. So I thought it was great. I gave it an A-.
This movie reminded me a little bit of Coda, where the young girl wanted to be in choir, but everybody said, well, you have a deaf family. There's no way that can happen. And this is, both stories are kind of coming-of-age stories, where this kid's trying to figure out who he's going to be. What am I? I'm a big kid. I can play rugby, but I'm not really good at it.
And he didn't enjoy it.
No.
He did. He got kind of into the camaraderie of the team during part of it.
Once he learned the hook.
And his brother was one of the coaches.
Is Haka, is that the name?
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. I was going to let people discover that part. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they were in New Zealand. It's going to happen.
Right, but I wondered if that was when they first started doing it.
Oh.
I don't know if it was. No. Doing it before matches.
Oh. Oh, I think
because remember
been going
they're embracing
forever.
The Maori part of it.
That's
why I didn't know. That's something I didn't know for sure. But
okay, well, I'm not sure either. But
it looked really cool.
It looked like it. Oh, yeah, it's a good movie. It's a great film.
So that's one that definitely you'll want to see at Megaplex.
So if you don't want to go see, one of the other big,
the other horror movies,
I think you're going to be able to get a seat to Uproar.
Yes, and it'll be worth your time, in my opinion. It's my pick of the week is Uproar. All right. So what are some other things, Jeff Whipple, that are coming to Megaplex? Because in addition to the big releases, which come, we got Godzilla times Kong equals destruction here in another week. We've got big stuff coming in May. We've got big stuff every month.
Well, I think we can talk about Spider-Man Mondays, right? We're okay to do that.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're on sale. We better talk about it.
That's good. I've been fixated on ghosts and marshmallows. But Larry has worked with the studios to bring
Jeff focuses back on one big thing at a time.
It's true. I get very myopic. But we've got Star Wars or Spider-Man Mondays.
Yeah, this is the 100 year anniversary for Sony Columbia Pictures. So they're going to be bringing back some films. They are re-releasing a Spider-Man Monday series where every live-action Spider-Man, starting with the Tobey Maguire trilogy through the most recent, will play for a one-night-only show here at the Jordan Commons location in the Platinum X large-format Atmos screen. It'll be a 7 p.m. On Mondays. And
so that's one. If it sells out, you're out of luck.
Right, yeah. You only have one auditorium to get into, one showtime, and that'll be it. So,
there's a whole generation of Marvel fans that didn't get to see Spider-Man 2 on the big screen.
There are nine films or eight?
Eight films. Yeah, two trilogies
and then the Amazing Spider-Man.
Over 8 weeks.
And how great that Spider-Man No Way Home tied all of them together.
Oh. Yeah.
And it made some of those movies more rewatchable than they were before.
I mean, I was the Tobey Maguire. That was my first Spider-Man, and I actually boycotted the first Andrew Garfield film because I was so mad that they recast him. Yeah. And then when I finally saw it, those two, I think, might be my favorite Spider-Man films now. And the way they brought them all back in Spider-Man No Way Home was just, I mean, you almost like tear up watching it, and some of the scenes with, saving MJ. And, I mean, they're just like, they tug at your heartstrings if you're into those films.
And just the conversation, like, you can shoot at webs out
of
that. Yeah. That was priceless.
Recreating the Spider-Man pointing meme. I mean, there's so many great things they did in that film. And, I mean, for those of you that remember that far, I mean, not that long ago, but far enough back, that's kind of the movie that, you know, signaled that the pandemic was over for movie theaters. I mean, it was the first big blockbuster
that blew the doors off.
Yeah, that everyone was like, if there's an event movie to come see, we're coming to see it.
And Spider-Man 2002 was the first movie since, I don't know, maybe Batman Returns that was liked and made a bunch of money, because the next two Batman movies made a lot of money but aren't generally remembered with the same fondness as the first two in the series, and, you know, the first two Superman movies. And so we've had Superman in the late 70s, early 80s. We had Batman in the late 80s and early 90s. And then Spider-Man 10 years later launches. X-Men did come out right before Spider-Man, and that did well. But Spider-Man, I think it still holds the record for the opening weekend and the first weekend in May. Spider-Man made it so that the summer movie season started at the beginning of May
earlier.
Instead of the end of May because it was so big.
So today they just announced, our friends over at FanX just announced that Marissa Tomei is on the guest list.
Ooh, for this
coming to coming to Utah for FanX in September.
George Costanza's in line.
And we've been chatting with our friends over there. There are three interesting films coming up that are in the pipeline. And keep an eye on our social media pages, because we're hoping, we're working out details now. But for May the 4th, Anthony Daniels, C-3PO, is coming to town. He's on the guest list. And Lee Majors, the original Fall Guy on TV. So we have we have the Star Wars Marathon, we have Fall Guy coming out, the movie, and then this Spider-Man Monday coming up. And we're going to try and work through a prize package with our friends at FanX to help people win prize a prize package that would get them...
The chance
each,
to meet
each
these
week.
Guys?
Yeah, a chance to get into FanX and then do a photo op with... One winner would get Anthony Daniels, another one would get, hopefully, Lee Majors, and the last one would get Marissa Tomei. Void where prohibited, express written consent in Major League Baseball. There's fine print, and we're still working through it, but the good news is, keep an eye on our social media pages, like, follow. We're very needy that way. But
now, I'm going to jump back a little bit in time, because you're dropping my jaw with all this news. And this is the only thing I can think of. You know Kojak, right?
Yeah.
What was his catchphrase?
I don't know. He did the pops of the...
Loves your baby.
Who loves you, baby?
Who loves you, baby?
Who loves you, baby? It's the Megaplex Theaters that loves you, baby.
We have great relationships with wonderful organizations, partners like FanX and others. And it's just so much fun to be doing this to... say thank you to our fans.
I would have never thought in the history of this show there'd be a Kojak reference
from me
on, you know, on...
You haven't heard the new film is in development?
Come Wouldn't on, that man. Be hilarious?
I know, I should think of a Ghostbusters line that fits in with this. Look, Steve, I'm just going to say it. Bustin' makes me feel good. Oh, we're celebrating Ghostbusters at the Megaplex Theaters.
Again,
and
the
our
best
special
Paul
bonus.
Rudd section was...
Paul Rudd was the best part of Ghostbusters.
Well, he's a funny guy, so we should let him do funny stuff.
Well, that fits with the franchise. But we got one more thing we want to review that came out today. And, you know...
The Celtic Lord of the Flies?
No, we may get to that one. We may not.
It's locally...
Okay, fine. Celtic Lord of the Flies, Riddle of Fire. Maybe we don't have a clip from it. He wasn't
Three
ready.
Goblins, two ghosts, one fairy, a troll, huntsman, and a witch. The prince of the mountain forever grants friends to those with hearts rich.
That's the little girl named Petal.
I thought this was going to be like a Willow knockoff or something.
Oh, no. It's called Riddle of Fire, and basically three kids that
Did
are
you
ruffians.
See this, Larry?
Three kids
I've
that are
actually
ruffians.
Not even heard of this one until you guys talked about it today, so I don't know why they didn't reach out to Megaplex.
Well, I think it's playing at one of your guys' theaters.
I'm pretty sure you're showing it. Oh, no, it's at the Broadway.
Oh, is it only the Broadway?
Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, we can't. Well, let's move on. No, just kidding. Riddle of Fire, three hooligans. They go on a quest to get their mom some blueberry pie.
And these are 12-year-old kids.
Yeah, and it takes them all over the place. It takes them into the company of... backwoods gangsters. It takes them out into the mountains. It takes them into the company of a woman who has some kind of witchcraft spell over these two girls.
Oh, yeah.
And it gets to a point where they're just out, they're out for a blueberry pie, and they go on a Middle Earth type adventure. It's called Riddle of Fire because they want the pie because their mom won't give them the Wi-Fi password to play the new video game system they stole.
Yeah, they stole it right out of it.
And it's, to me, it was like a mixture of Stand By Me. It was like a mixture. I'd have to look at what I wrote because it's the end of the night and my brain is turning to mush. Stand By Me, Napoleon Dynamite, and if you remember Gentleman Broncos, it really had a Gentleman Broncos kind of vibe to it. I can't describe it any more than that. Felt like a fever dream. My biggest objection is you got a 12-year-old, and that one kid's not 12. The one with the lisp.
One, no.
Yeah.
He's
and like these 80. Kids cuss like sailors, and it just kind of turned me off from it. But it was clever, and I really like Leo Tipton, who plays the witch mom. She was appropriately terrifying, like terrifying in a good way.
You know, when they were just... When they were just
it was filmed here in Utah. Yes.
Yeah, up in Park City. Summit County.
Nice. Our friend Marshall Moore from the formerly of the Utah Film Commission, and he was the location supervisor for the movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's just.
But yeah, they should have reached out to you, Larry.
Yeah. I mean, who are you going to call?
Exactly.
Oh, the plumber.
Now there are some movies that go to streaming that should have gone theatrical, and Jeff always nods with that wry look of what are they thinking. And one of those is today, and it is Roadhouse.
Before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good? Like, you have dental?
Oh, haha.
Is there a hospital nearby? Is it, like, too far?
About, like, 25 minutes, I'd say.
So you like to fight. You ever win?
No one ever wins a fight.
All right, so it's a remake of the former Patrick Swayze. I don't even know if you could call it a theatrical hit, but it got played every night on TNT for an entire decade.
It grew.
That's the thing. Some of these films didn't get a following in theaters. They just got the spots worn off of them on cable or something, and people built an audience that way.
So now we've got Jake Gyllenhaal playing the role Dalton, who is that Patrick Swayze played in the original. And he's a former MMA fighter who's down on his luck until he gets offered a job as a bouncer slash, they call him a cooler, because his job is to cool down the people who are getting a little too heated. And he's
Jessica
doing that.
Jessica Williams owns the club.
Jessica Williams is the one who comes and hires him, really talented from Shrinking, the show Shrinking. She was the black psychiatrist friend of Jason Segel's. She's very good in this. And eventually causes enough trouble because that bar is on a land that some drug smugglers want to own so they can
build a resort.
Yeah, it's a big real estate scheme. The best ones are. Ask Gene Hackman and Christopher Reeve. But in this case, he runs afoul of the powerful people. So they bring in Conor McGregor in his film debut to come and fight the former MMA fighter.
He is like a hurricane just comes through this movie.
Yes, and you get some great views of Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he's like just strutting around, you know.
But he plays it with such energy and like he looks like he's having a good time. Look, the story is secondary to setting up the fight scenes, and the fight scenes deliver. So it is what it is. That's what I told myself the whole time watching it. But it would have been fun to watch on the big screen.
Okay, now the real review. Is
the real
review. You didn't like this movie. Admit it. I thought it was hilarious. They took an idea. They paid proper homage to the original Roadhouse, but
did
an entirely different movie. The lines, the dialogue was interesting. The little bookstore was cute.
By the way, did you notice what the store was next to the bookstore?
No.
The Double Deuce.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
There were little nods all over the place.
But, yeah, the fight scenes are pretty incredible, especially when Connor and Jake go at it. It is like, what in the world?
I wonder how many times they got, you know, Connor got carried away and actually connected on stuff.
Well, he said he had a black eye at one point, so they went after it. I just thought, man, for a movie that is, you know, based on another film, it looked so original and so fresh to me. I love this movie.
Okay.
B+.
I will say this. I could raise mine from a C to a C+. I could be talked into that. But it was cartoonish. I mean, it was cartoonish. You have a lantern-jawed hero versus like some of the most scene-chewing villains.
You don't think you could drive a boat into a building?
I mean, obviously you
can.
Come on. How much abuse does that bar take? A boat? A truck? Conor McGregor?
And they take out and they start sweeping up. And I'm like, you're going to need more than that.
So that is Roadhouse on Prime Video. Steve liked it more than I did. But, hey,
Loved it.
It should have been on the big screen.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone Torture.
All right, it's time for Telephone Torture. Every movie show, we're going to do it. And you know what? It's sponsored by our friends at the Megaplex, and they have got a great deal for the winner of Telephone Torture.
Oh, that's right.
In fact, we met the winner from earlier today's Telephone Torture.
That's
Milo
right.
came in. He picked the prize pack, which we think...
Well, you shamed him into it.
I put the hard press that they picked the really cool prize.
Do you want the greatest prize in the history of man or the other one?
So these are the Telephone Torture prize. What we're going to do is we're going to give you three clues about a movie. The theme for this one is filmed in Utah because Megaplex Theaters has a filmed in Utah series that is almost over.
Wrapping up soon, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the final week.
But this is a movie that was filmed in Utah, and I will give an additional hint for those of you who've been paying attention over the weeks. This is one that actually was in the filmed in Utah series as well.
Well, that
and
narrows it down.
Is one of my favorite movies also.
That,
although that
definitely narrows it down.
That doesn't narrow it.
I know
but
it is.
Here
that.
Are the prizes you can win from Megaplex Theaters. Steve, what's the regular prize?
You get a delicious bucket of popcorn. You get two lovely drinks and two tickets to any movie.
And Jeff, that includes like IMAX, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But Jeff is going to tell what you could win tonight only.
So, we've got two tickets to a premium format, either our IMAX screen or a premium large format Platinum X screen with state-of-the-art digital picture, Dolby Atmos sound, luxury recliners, just a delightful experience there. Popcorn in a Ghostbusters souvenir tub and the souvenir drink cups to go with it. So a premium large format experience to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And you can choose to fill your cups with a Ghostbusters themed icy, actually. So nice.
What does that taste like?
Yeah.
It's booberry.
He's here all night.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read you the clues for Telephone Torture.
Man, tough crap.
We're going to read you the clues over the air. And then if you think you know the answer, call 801-575-TALK, 801-KSL-TALK, 801-575-8255. You call that number. We're going to take no more than three callers. But if you think you know it but you can't call in, text us the answer at 57500. And if none of the three callers, or if we just don't get enough callers, you know, because the questions are so hard, they're
tough,
like,
tough.
I give up.
Boy, this is tough. Yeah.
Then we will take the first correct answer on the text line for this. Okay, so this is a movie filmed in Utah. And the first one is, this movie was actually inspired by John Hughes. In fact, yeah, that John Hughes.
Got it.
Okay. He called the filmmakers in and said they were pitching a different movie. And he says, I've got a movie about a comedy about two people at a ski resort. Can you make this movie for me? Yeah. So it was actually an idea from John Hughes, this movie.
Electric Horseman.
But here was the catch. They couldn't tell anybody it was John Hughes' idea.
No.
All right, so that's our first question. If you think you know the answer, 801-575-8255, call us or start texting us if you think you know the answer. This movie was filmed in Utah.
There was a bonus clue in that because you said it's part of the filmed in Utah series.
Yeah, we have callers on the line. Okay, pull somebody up and let's give first person a crack at it. Who's this?
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, do you think you know the answer to our Telephone Torture? What do you think it is?
I'm not sure, but I'm willing to take a guess. One of the old westerns filmed in Utah.
All right, what do you guess? Give us a title. You got to guess a title, buddy.
Okay, I'm going to guess Stagecoach.
Stagecoach, filmed in Utah. Congratulations, that was filmed in Utah. Is that the correct answer? Oh, Alex, you're
killing
supposed to
me, Smalls.
There you go. Okay, good guess, Mike, but that is incorrect. All right, so here is our second clue.
Stagecoach at a ski resort? Come on. Mike, killing me.
Mike wanted to get that prize pack because we sold it so well to him. He wanted that Ghostbusters prize pack. All right, next question. Two main characters in the movie Their friendship was inspired by Bob Hope and Bing Crosby.
Huh. Boy.
Not quite as intelligent as Bob Hope and Bing Crosby.
Huh.
But inspired by Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. All right. Do we have somebody on the line willing to take a shot? Who's this? You think you got it?
I hope so.
Hello. Who's this? You there?
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
John.
John? What's the answer? What do you think?
Let's see here. How about Fort Utah?
All right, Fort Utah. So now we've got Western on the brain. But if we recall, first of all, John Hughes, from the 1980s.
Of the 80s.
He was in the 80s. He wrote comedies. And this
and you're
is
saying that they're not
two
smart.
Friends. Not as intelligent as Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. But, all right, is that the correct answer, Alex? Oh, we appreciate the effort, but that is not correct. All right. Last clue. When lead actor Jim Carrey was filming this movie in Utah, and this is something that not everybody knows, he suffered a kidney stone. Aww. And my cousin gave him a ride at the Holy Cross Hospital up the hill from the doctor's office to the main hospital.
Making that noise.
He wanted him to make his laugh, but he never dared ask him.
Because he's having trying to pass a kidney stone.
That would have made an annoying noise. Wow.
Maybe the,
So, to recap the clues, two friends at a ski resort. One of them is Jim Carrey. It's a comedy.
Do they
that
drive
was inspired
a furry
by
car?
John Hughes. All right, who's this?
This is Deacon from Salt Lake City.
Deacon?
Oh, he's on it.
Yes, right.
Okay, Deacon. What do you got?
Fire it up.
It's Dumb and Dumber.
Yay. Is that correct, Alex? Yes. We got off the Western track.
Hallelujah.
Though a Western funny. Version of Dumb and Dumber
would be hilarious.
Highly entertaining. Maybe there's a sequel in there.
Yeah.
This is one of my five favorite comedies of all time is Dumb and Dumber.
Probably shouldn't have told
I was the right
that.
Age. I was 19 when it came out. I saw it with my buddies. Laughed to tears.
I'll take your critics card now.
Wow.
I said five favorites. I didn't say five best comedies of all time. There's a difference.
Which prize is he going to take?
Well, that's the question. Oh, yeah. So, Deacon, what are you going to pick? Are you going to pick the regular prize that you can get any week? Or are you going to get the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire Deluxe Awesome Super Cool Prize Pack?
Well, I'm all about deluxe. Let's do deluxe.
Oh, good answer.
What
good
a good
answer.
Call. All right, Deacon, stay on the line. Alex is going to get your info, and then he'll send it to our friends here at Megaplex, and you'll get a chance to see Frozen Empire in the biggest screen possible, with the best sound possible, with the best treats possible. Thanks for listening, buddy. All right, that is telephone torture.
A smart and smarter answer. Well done.
That was torture. Did he say Fort Apache or Fort Utah?
Fort Utah.
I think he said Fort Utah. Was that even filmed in Utah? I don't even know if that was. But it does have Utah in the title. So, and, yeah, okay, now the texts are coming in for Dumb and Dumber. Sorry, we do have a winner, but, hey, we appreciate you playing. All right. What else do we have on the agenda for tonight? Steve?
Rapid fire?
Yeah, we still got that.
Do we have a movie that we haven't talked about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So before we take the break here, there was a couple we were going to talk about, but we didn't. We ran out of time to get to. Oh, no, we did Riddle of Fire, so never mind. Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Ooh, yeah.
We just wanted to give that one a quick mention.
Well, this is Netflix's big offering this year. It's sort of like their Game of Thrones kind of thing.
Oh, it's made by the guys who did Game of Thrones.
Yes, I'm aware. And so now.
But they might not have been aware.
Okay, well. Three Body Problem refers to bodies of in orbit, and if you get a third one in there, it screws everything up. Some aliens from another, wherever the heck they are
See,
having that problem.
I feel like you're giving it away when you say aliens.
Well, there's not
I don't know anything
Earth.
About aliens, and I've watched two episodes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, I guess I do know something
because
about
they
it.
Were okay. trying to contact.
That's a fairly early reveal. Yeah.
They're
okay.
Trying to contact somebody out there, right?
Yeah,
and finally
that,
somebody
well,
responds.
That was the thing. What were they doing with the big satellite dish that was kind of nebulous at first?
Okay, well.
But that's all right.
You'll find out. It's actually, I've watched four episodes. It's really good.
Okay, and so that is Three Body Problem. And I've watched two, but the only reason I didn't watch more
was because I ran out of time. I think that was your same thing, or you would have finished it already, too. Yeah. We just had so much other stuff we had to watch, including Immaculate and Late Night with the Devil.
And,
which,
and Shirley and Stormy.
Shirley, and Stormy.
There's just a ton of stuff this week.
Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether.
No, we have the X-Men 97.
Oh, X-Men 97. Yep, I loved that cartoon. Great continuation of the series. Larry, did you watch X-Men back in the 90s, the cartoon?
That's one I didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
The Saturday morning cartoon?
I don't know why I missed that one. Yeah.
Wow.
I wished you off a dozen other ones that I watched.
I was so hooked that I recorded them on video cassette when they aired, and I would like pause to edit the commercials out of the video cassette, and then I lent it to a buddy, and he never gave it back.
Oh, yeah. I hope you're not sending Cardinal him a Christmas card.
It's on the list.
Oh, yeah. So, let's take a break on the movie show.
Are you running out of gas?
I got to get my thoughts together as we have our final segment with our friends here at the Megaplex Theater as we celebrate Ghostbusters Frozen Empire and its big premiere today. Ghostbusters! I can't hear you. Who you going to call?
Ghostbusters! Louder! Ghostbusters! You know, we never even mentioned McKenna Grace. I thought she was a really key part of that movie.
Yeah, she's an up-and-coming actress that I've really liked her in everything I've seen her
exactly.
in. And she's really solid in this, too. It's weird to see her with dark hair because she's a blonde hair in real life.
That's
so
true.
But she's like Egon reincarnated almost.
She very much channels that. It's great.
Yeah. Did you see her? She did an interview for the promotion of this and talked about how as she's grown up as a child actor in Hollywood, she was on the Sony lot very often, and every time she went, she had her mother take her picture in front of the Ghostbusters car.
Ecto-1.
Yeah, and so she brought up all these pictures of her growing up in front of it, and now she gets to talk as a Ghostbuster.
And now she sits in the side jump seat of the car, firing the proton pack.
Yeah. I can see how that would be a little awkward for a 14-year-old. But yeah,
but she's good. Yeah, she was solid in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So let's do rapid fire. It's longer than that.
That was just a one shot.
Oh, okay. It's a really rapid fire, I guess. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. We gave it the same grade, but we had fun.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. Just a couple of tweaks here and there might have made it. It's we're always trying to make these better,
yes.
And we're never going to get to that. Like the first one.
Yes, the first one set a standard that will be probably impossible because, as you said, it was lightning in a bottle. But they're doing a good job of making it something that we can still enjoy, and it's something that younger kids can enjoy. So if you've got a family, my dad debated a long time whether he was going to let us watch Ghostbusters because of some of the adult stuff and some of the language that was in it back in 1984. So this doesn't have that same worry, although it is rated PG-13. We also talked about Late Night with the Devil, rated R. Not my cup of tea, but it had some cleverness to it. Basically, a guy on a late-night show in the 1970s, this is found footage of where he tries to have a person talk to a demonic possession, and it somehow gets out of hand.
What?
I know. Can you believe it? And then we also had Immaculate.
Yeah, a nun goes to Italy and becomes she immaculately conceives a child. And what? There's more to it than that. It's a kind of a dark movie. It's more gross and bloody than it is scary.
And the Late Night with the Devil is certainly going for gross and scary.
And this was Sidney Sweeney in the Immaculate.
In Immaculate, correct. Then we talked about Uproar, which was my pick of the week. I thought it was solid, about a kid in New Zealand in the 80s who, half Maori, half English, just pulled in all these different directions. And, just his struggle to figure out who he is and who he wants to be, and what's he going to do when people look at him and just say, hey, what do you have to say?
Yeah, no, I like this actor. I think he's a great character actor. And
he's funny, too. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
he was hilarious in Deadpool. He was hilarious in Hunt for the Wilder People.
You saw that?
Well, no, but I've heard it's hilarious, and it's on my list. He was also in one other thing. He was in Godzilla vs. Kong, the first one.
Oh, not Godzilla.
He was one of the
Times.
Not Godzilla Times Kong. We'll get to that in just a sec. Multiplied by Kong equals destruction.
That's what I'm going to call Godzilla minus one.
Not even equal Godzilla.
No.
Is less than Godzilla minus one.
Make that go the right way.
So we also talked about Riddle of Fire.
Yeah, a local film that kind of had it was all over the place.
Yeah, it's got some fun vibes, but it's just, it was uneven for me.
They didn't have to have the kids. I mean, they could have been rowdy without being nasty.
Correct. But they did have some hilarious lines. I will say this.
Yeah.
There was some really clever writing in that, too. We talked about Roadhouse on Prime Video.
Jake Gyllenhaal, he's a huge fan, a big fan of Patrick Swayze. He wanted to make sure they did it right. And the only thing that really ticks me off is Doug Liman wanted it in theaters. I mean, after you finish a product and you realize, I sold it to Netflix, what was I thinking? They just walked away from $100 million that they could have made in the theaters.
Or if they sold it to Prime Video, which is where it's playing.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm giving
Netflix, they had Three Body Problem that we talked about in our last segment. So those are the things we talked about on the movie show. And we're here at Megaplex on a Friday night, the best place to be. There's an energy. I mean, we've been doing this for like 3 hours now. Now, I'm running out of energy, but there's just the same amount of energy in the lobby as there was when we got here.
Yeah, the next group's coming in.
We have waves of people that come, and it's always a great, great night to watch people come and enjoy a movie.
And we haven't even talked about this delicious food we've been eating in between. How about some funnel fries, which are basically mini churros that you dip in soft serve, and that I'm trying to get my kids to eat them because I've been eating them every single chance I get.
The food selection is ramping up, and we're grateful to our team that delivers.
What do you call this, chicken sriracha?
Yeah, it's a chicken club with a little hint of sriracha.
It's so delicious.
When you buy your tickets at Megaplex, do yourself a favor and browse through the food selections that they have, because gone are the days where you have to go up and stare at the menu board and figure out what you're ordering, what you're looking at. You can do it right from the same kiosk you buy your tickets. You can throw it all together, buy it all at once. You can do it in the app.
You can do it
before
in the
you
app
even
and,
show up.
And then we'll bring it to you in your seat, which is really fun.
So these are the kinds of things. But here's what's coming to the Megaplex. Here's some reasons you should come to the Megaplex between now. And let's just go to the summer.
So
Spider-Man Monday's coming up.
Spider-Man Monday's coming up. Civil War is coming. We've got The Fall Guy, May 2nd.
Ooh.
Same weekend that we're doing the Star Wars Day, May the 4th marathon. A couple of tickets still there if you're interested.
I think some sold while we were doing the show
we
tonight.
We watched as people got wind of that and picked up those tickets. Imaginary Friends, the IF film is coming in May.
Not to be confused with the Teddy Bear Imaginary.
No, this is different. This is different. Furiosa, Mad Max Saga.
Ooh. Oh, and you were showing me. There's going to be some cool stuff with that.
We've got some fun planned. We're working on all of these, which is fun. Inside Out 2, Teenage Years.
Yeah.
Mood Swings.
Anxiety.
A little.
I know
little
they only said there. Anxiety. Then they release the other trailer, and it turns out, hey, there's some other fun emotions in there.
Yes, there are. And anyone who's lived with a teenager knows what they're up against. A Quiet Place, Day 1.
Yeah. Is that the end of June?
It is June 27th.
Yeah.
Then we get into Kevin Costner's project, his first one of the summer, Horizon, which is also being filmed here in Utah. Despicable Me 4, Twisters, Deadpool 3.
That's when I have a lot of friends that can't wait to see Deadpool and Wolverine.
Beetlejuice, we've got Wicked coming. There's some fun
there's
stuff.
Another Planet of the Apes film.
Oh, right. Yes, I forgot about that.
You see the trailer for Beetlejuice? He goes, the juice is on the loose. I thought, okay, I'm ready.
These films are going to connect with Utah audiences. We're already bracing for impact, which is a lot of fun.
Now, one of the fun things is after a big release, and especially after a big family-friendly release, is finding out where the Megaplex ranked, not just in dollar sales in Utah, but in the nation, the top 10 in the nation different locations.
We try and give the studios a heads up. We follow Google tracking on these films. We know guests. We have just phenomenal fans, and they turn out. And thankfully, I mean, Larry can attest to this, the studios are less surprised than they used to be. And now they've started conversations with us when we have our regular meetings with them. This is a Utah movie. We're expecting great things from Megaplex, and so it raises the expectation, but it's always fun when we deliver and then some.
Well, thank you for having us at the Megaplex Theaters tonight. It's always a fun time to be here. Jeff Whipple, Larry Tassone.
I'll clean up the marshmallows.
Steve
Ghostbusters!